Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning to all of our friends in North Mississippi and West Alabama. Welcome once again to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, welcoming you. I also welcome you on behalf of my friend and partner in this ministry, Elder David Wise, who's the pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Both these churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and I guarantee you we would be very, very pleased to see you come and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us. You'll find a very welcoming and simple group of people, simply understanding and rejoicing in the truths of the sovereign grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come and be with us if you can. Also, we meet every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. That's 6 p.m. every single Wednesday night. And we want you to come and worship with us there. We usually have song service, preaching, a brief message, and then we usually sit and fellowship and eat and enjoy one another's company. And we would love to enjoy yours as well. We hope that you'll go to our website. That's gospel-of-grace.com. You can find links, you can find previous messages, you can find articles, frequently asked questions, and things of that nature. We'd love for you to visit that and give us some feedback. Contact us. We would love to hear from you. We love this fall weather, and I hope that you do too. It is cool and crisp. It could be hog killing time outside, and just absolutely love this time of year. We have some holidays coming up. We'll get to spend time with our family. So we'll be praying that everyone has good, safe traveling around in these upcoming holiday seasons. And we hope that you'll pray for us as we try to carry on this ministry on the radio. And stay tuned with us. And after this hymn, we'll be right back with this morning's message.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nesting birds.
Thank you for staying tuned with us. If you have your Bibles, crack open that 1611 King James translation, if you have it, preferably. But if not, try to get the closest you can and open with us to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. As you're turning to that, I'd like to speak this morning about the doctrine of election and some false presuppositions and prejudices against the doctrine of election. Now, what is the doctrine of election? Well, the doctrine of election basically states that the Lord Jesus Christ had entrusted to him by God the Father before the world even began a vast number of people. And those are the people that he came into this world. He loved them, and he came to save them. He successfully lived for them. He successfully died for them. He successfully was risen for them. He successfully purchased them, and he is successfully seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, making intercession for them. And those are the only ones who will live in heaven because they've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, someone, they hear that without a more thorough understanding of the doctrine of election. And they'll say, this is a very hard doctrine. This is a very just not a compassionate doctrine at all. What do you mean? What are you talking about that God has chosen all that are going to live in heaven with him and the rest are not? And this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Just like they declared in John chapter 6 when the Lord spoke about his sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay special attention to me. The doctrine of election does not teach that God elected a people to heaven before the world began and also a people to go to hell before the world began. Understand that the doctrine of election only saves people. It is only a positive doctrine. It does not condemn anyone to hell. It does not cause anyone to fall in sin. That occurred in our federal head, Adam. But see, election is a great mercy. It's a great grace because the Lord was under no obligation to save any of us having fallen in Adam, our representative head. But it was of his love and his mercy for his elect. He saw their fall before the fall, before the beginning of the world. He saw that it was going to take place and he made the remedy. And the remedy is Jesus Christ. And the remedy is electing a people in Jesus Christ for him to come and represent perfectly and to be their Lord and Savior. And I have a hope that I'm among that number. And if you have a love of the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to serve him this morning, it shows that you also are among that number. Now, let's answer the challenges this morning about whether election unto salvation in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means God did the electing. He's the only one who had a vote. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Is that a hard doctrine? Is it a doctrine whereby most all people that have ever lived on the face of the earth have absolutely no hope of living in heaven? Well, I would tell you absolutely not. You know, the opposite doctrine, in a nutshell, and of course there's many manifold doctrines out there, but in general, the other is a choice-based doctrine. And they say, well, the dead alien sinner, not being born again, not being made in the good graces of Jesus Christ and the Lord Father, that they have the choice to hear the gospel, to choose to believe it, to choose to love the Lord and accept him in their heart and be saved. Well, my friends, there's a lot of problems with that. For one thing, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the Lord offered his son to sinners. Jesus Christ offered himself to his Father for the sinners that he came to represent. And the other problem is this, the Bible is manifestly clear that man in his fallen nature will not seek after God. He doesn't know righteousness, he doesn't want to know God, and he doesn't love God. And Romans chapter 8 says, for the carnal mind is enmity against the law of God. He's an enemy against God. So that is spoken of multiple times in the scriptures. We taught you those things here on the radio before, both myself and Brother David Wise. So, we're not going to relay that ground today, but understand this. The Bible clearly teaches that no man left in his original fallen nature could ever or would ever follow and love and choose the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. They just wouldn't do it. And to deny that, I'm sorry, it's just to deny the clarity of Scripture. So, what we want to deal with today is the two doctrines, election versus choice-based doctrine. Which one is the most compassionate? Which one shows forth the most power? Well, we told you to go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Let's deal with the question about the sheer number of humanity that could be saved to heaven. Should we go through this life believing that most every human being that has lived, is living now, or will live, is going to burn in an eternal lake of fire simply because either they did not make the right choice or maybe they never even got the opportunity to make the choice. Maybe they never heard the gospel. Maybe it was a child that was aborted from the womb. Maybe it was a mentally incapable person. But we're talking about a vast number of humanity. Now, which one of these doctrines is more compassionate toward the whole of humanity? Well, look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Here you have the 24 elders, the four living creatures, the beasts that are giving praise and honor unto the Lamb that is worthy to loose the seals of the book. And notice what it says in verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Notice, they're not saying we have any worthiness. In fact, the angel declared, who is worthy? And none of the angels assembled there, nor any of humanity, both in heaven, on the earth, or under the earth, were able to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. But it was only the Lamb. You see, he was the only one worthy. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy tongue out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That is a lot of folks. Think about every kindred. That means every family unit that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Here the Bible says, out of every single one that could be identified from the beginning of time to the end of time, the Lord has a person that he redeemed by his blood out of it. Okay, not just kindred. Well, but what about tongue, language, and dialects? Think about every single language that ever has been, dead languages, or the languages that are alive now. Here he says that by the blood of Jesus Christ, he's redeemed a people out of every single one of them. And people, which means basically nationality. It means basically culture, out of every culture. Think about the ones that have died off in the past, the ones that are still going to die off before the Lord comes again. That's a lot of people. And nation, every single nation, both extant right now, that has been in existence or that will be in existence. The Lord has a people out of every single one of them. Now, somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, you know, you're making a bigger deal out of that than it is. You know, truly, you know, it could be a much smaller number than you are testifying of. But also look what it says here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. We see very much the same picture, but notice this wording. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Notice that. No man could number. That means no man has been able to keep records well enough. No man has been able to keep tally enough. No man living all of his life could count the number of people that are going to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. My friends, that sounds like the Lord is able to save a vast number of people, far greater number than any fat chicken-eating preachers like me could ever reach in all of human existence. The Lord is able, though, because of his electing grace. Now, what about a choice-based system? Well, somebody said, well, you have to get the Bible out. You have to get the doctrine out. You have to get the evangelist, the soul saver out to get these people into heaven. My friends, I looked up a few statistics today as I was studying this. Now, let's look at the merit of a choice-based system. Let's see which one certainly has the capacity to save multitudes more of humanity than the other. Well, with election, it's God's power. But with choice, it falls in man's power. And notice the number of humanity. Notice these representative groups, okay? In one place we looked, we saw there are 16,600 distinct ethnic groups. Remember, the Lord has people out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. So when you're just looking at ethnic groups, 16,600 of them. And it also estimates, in the same study I saw, 6,700 of them are unreached. That means they have never had a Christian influence. They've never had a Bible. They've never had an evangelist. They've never heard the gospel. They've never even known a Christian. 6,700 of these distinct ethnic groups are unreached by the gospel. And that's just in the present day. That doesn't even represent time past or time yet to come before the Lord comes back. That's a lot of people going to hell simply because they either didn't hear and make the right choice, or they didn't hear at all. Or they did hear and didn't make the right choice, or they didn't hear at all. Just look at Asian Muslims. You know, one study shows that only 10% of Asian Muslims even knows a Christian. 10%. Do you know how many Asian Muslims there are out there, just of that culture? Another statement, approximately 15% of Muslims worldwide, only 15% of them know a Christian. We're talking about billions of people. Just look at Asia in general. Only approximately 20% of more than 4.5 billion people claim to even know a Christian. Are you satisfied with a doctrine that's telling you that every one of those people must burn in an eternal lake of fire simply because they weren't reached by a missionary board? Altogether, looking at Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists, just those three groups together, 81% of them claim to not even know a Christian. You see, my friends, so when you're looking at the doctrine of election versus a choice-based election, and keep in mind, will you, that an unborn-again person can never and will never choose the Lord anyway? But just imagine they could. Look at the vast numbers of people burning in perdition simply because you didn't get the gospel out to them. My friends, I believe the Lord has a number that no man can number, and it's a great multitude, and it is through His electing grace. He elected them, chose them. He's the only vote caster, and He placed them in His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at another aspect. Whose choice is exalted more between these two doctrines? An election-based doctrine or a choice-based doctrine? Okay, whose choice is exalted the more? In Ephesians chapter 1, notice what it said here. It talks about the Lord being exalted. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, why is He so blessed? Verse 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace." You see, in an election-based system, the Lord gets all of the glory for the choosing. Here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lamb who is able to redeem out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. Blessed is the Holy Spirit, the wind that bloweth where it listeth and is not able to be hindered or helped by man. But let's look at a choice-based system. It reminds me of a story I heard here recently. Two little boys were walking along the railroad tracks, and they didn't hear the train come. The train came and hit them and killed both of them. Well, one of them went to heaven, one of them went to hell. So the one in hell was hollering up at the one in heaven. Now, of course, there's a lot of levity in this story, you know, a lot of foolishness, but we use it to make a point. Say the one in hell could holler up at the one in heaven and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" The one in heaven said, "I'm up here praising my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And the one in hell said, "Why?" The one in heaven said, "Well, because I chose Him, and He saved me, and He saved me from hell, and He saved me to heaven because I chose Him. He died for me. He's died for all of mankind, all of mankind. He's died for every human creature, and I chose Him, and here I am." Well, wait a minute, the boy in hell said, "You mean you tell me He died for every single human creature?" And the boy in heaven said, "Well, absolutely, sure He did." Well, the boy in hell said, "Well, it seems to me that you're praising the wrong one, because if that Lord didn't do anything more for you than He's done for me, and the only reason you're in heaven is because of a choice you made and I didn't make, it seems to me you shouldn't be rejoicing in the Lord. You should be rejoicing in yourself, because you're the one who made the exalted choice. All of the power was in your hands, in your mind, and in your decision making." Now, of course, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Somebody may say, "Well, that's just a funny little parable." But think about it. Whose choice is more exalted? Whose power is more exalted? The Lord of electing grace, the one taught in the Bible, or a choice-based doctrine that tells people who don't have the capacity and the nature, the ability, and the vision to make a choice that they have to make it or they're going to go to hell? Let me ask you this. Which one of those doctrines, in each one of those doctrines, who is the elector? Who's the one that does the choosing? Who's the one that has the elect? I mean, if somebody is among the elect, if someone is elected, it means they were chosen. They were chosen out from among some others that were left behind. Well, who did the electing? My friends, in a choice-based system, God is not the elector. You are. But brothers and sisters, in election doctrine taught in the Word of God, God is the one who did the choosing. God is the one who did the saving. And God is the one who gets all of the glory. My friends, let's ask another question between election-based system and a choice-based system. Which one is more dependent on man? Which one's more dependent on God? You see, you have a distinct difference here. Is your doctrine dependent more on God's actions or on man's actions? You see, in the doctrine of election, you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, and the statement is made, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." You see, wholly dependent upon God. God said, "No one can lay anything to the charge of my elect, my chosen, because I'm the one that justified them. I'm the one that made them just." My friends, you go over to Hebrews chapter 8, and you're going to see very plainly the Apostle Paul, whom I believe was the inspired author of the book of Hebrews, this epistle to the Hebrew believers. Notice with me over in Hebrews chapter 8, he goes out of his way to quote a vast passage of Scripture right out of Jeremiah chapter 31. And notice what he said here. For this verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord." I repeat verse 11 again. Bless your heart. Listen to it now. "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." It sounds to me like the Lord is telling you the import of salvation is not that you're going out and telling your friends, neighbors, and brethren about the Lord. The Lord says, "I'm going to have my people. They shall be my people." And it's not based upon you going out and telling people about it. Well, my friends, what about a choice-based system? Well, you know as well as I do that unless you pay enough preachers out there, unless you try to send them through schools to get them educated and make preachers out of them, notice the Lord's the only one who can call a preacher to ministerial work. But people just say, "Well, we'll just pay a college tuition and I'll go and I'll get a certificate and I'll be a preacher and I'll go out and I'll save all of these people for the Lord. And without me, can't be done. Without men going out and sharing the gospel, these souls can't be won." My friends, balderdash and poppycock. I'm here to tell you that a choice-based system will always exalt man, his faithfulness, his choosing, his intellect, his acumen, his ability, his spirituality. But my friends, the doctrine of election as taught in the Word of God will always exalt one choice and one choice alone, and that is the Lord's choosing of a people. Let me ask you another question. Between the doctrines of election and the doctrine that's out there being taught of a choice-based salvation system, let me ask you something. Which is more based on that which is more steadfast, and which is based on that which is ever-changing? Ever-changing. And which one's steadfast? Well, in election, the Lord is the one that does the electing. He's the one who does the choosing. He's the one who does the saving. And that's what the Bible teaches. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." My friends, He's the Rock of Ages. He does not change. And He told them in Malachi, "Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because I change not. I am the Lord." Well, my friends, I can rest on the electing power and grace of the Lord, that He's able to save billions and billions and billions more people through the representation of His Son on the cross than preachers and soul savers and grandmothers and Sunday school teachers could ever reach. But my friends, a choice-based system, it is dependent upon man, wholly dependent upon man. Does it make sense to you that God, who wants to have a people, that has purposed to have a people in heaven to praise His name, that He's left it entirely in the hands of frail, friable, vacillating men? My friends, we can't even make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the same way twice in a row. How are we going to go out and save souls that are dead alien sinners and save them for heaven? My friends, we can't do it. We can't do it. You know why? Because man is a vacillating, changing creature. What you knew yesterday, you don't know the same way today. What you did yesterday, you can't repeat it and replicate it the same way today, no matter how hard you try. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the prophet Jeremiah declares unto Judah, says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Now notice this question: who can know it? Who has a full grasp over their mental faculties? Who has a full grasp over their heart? Who has a full grasp on something that will not change and they'll not change in it? My friends, man is changeable. The Apostle Paul himself, as steadfast as he was, spoke in Romans chapter 7 about the great battle that goes on within each and every one of us. Oh, we rejoice to serve the law of God in our minds. Oh, but there's a law of sin in our members that pollutes that continually. Do you want salvation based upon the choosing of men? Go with me to Job just a moment, and we're going to have to bring you this in closing. But my friends, I hope that you're beginning to see that if you can have confidence in eternal salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it must needs be through the teaching of the doctrine of the electing grace of the Lord and Savior that was purposed for His elect before the world ever began. You go with me to Job chapter 4, and notice what it says here in Job chapter 4. Question is asked, verse 17, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? See, can man be more reliable? Can man be more pure? Can man hold more sway? Hold the ultimate decision? Doesn't sound like it from this question. This is a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is no. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he, God, put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Even the angels, as supernatural and powerful as they are, God has not placed our eternal salvation even on those angels that go before his face daily, day in and day out for his elect. My friends, if he hasn't placed that power in an angel that is able in one night to slay 185,000 Assyrians without even startling the city, I'm here to tell you, my friends, I certainly don't believe he's placed his trust in me, whose heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He said, behold, he put no trust in his servants and his angels. He charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay? What's a house of clay? It's continually wearing down and changing. It's never the same tomorrow as it is today. That dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust. That dust is so easily blown and misfigured and moved about, which are crushed before the moth. It's so frail, so friable, that even a little light moth lands on it, it falls down. My friends, that is our nature. Do you think the Lord left the salvation of that great throng that will live with him in heaven up to on that basis? I can tell you no, 1,000 times no. And we're going to continue with this same subject, Lord willing, next time that I speak to you. And until that time, my friends, study about these things, whether they be so according to the word of God. We'll be praying that you will, and pray for us in this effort. And until we're able to speak with you on this radio program again, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ bless all of his children that are under the sound of our voices. We love you. Lord bless.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the mass of